Hello, this is Ian with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. We'll start our reading today, as we usually do, on the front page of the paper. Today with the article, Two Firefighters in Virus Quarantine, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. It was reported at Tuesday night's Danville City Council meeting that two Danville firefighters are in quarantine due to COVID-19 exposure. A question again came up at the teleconference meeting from Alderman Dan Duncan about the increase in fire department overtime. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said the overtime is about 49% higher right now than projections for the fiscal year. Williams said there have been firefighter callbacks due to workers' compensation, injury cases, and new hires not part of the manning count due to retirements. Alderman also heard a Carl at the Riverfront update. Williams said there is a minor delay due to Carl officials wanting to obtain all final properties at once. Carl is negotiating another property on Logan Avenue and finalizing another house, he said. They are only a few months behind schedule, Williams said, about work still expected to move forward again this year. In other reports, Williams said the city is seeing some sales tax and other revenue shortfalls due to the coronavirus pandemic, but the city should make up some of the losses with health insurance savings. The council approved regulation changes for food trucks. Williams said the city is trying to be as business-friendly as possible and have the food truck owners not have to make monthly license fee payments. We know it will make it cheaper and make it easier to operate as well, Williams said. Changes include a $100 a month fee going to a $600 annual fee, expanding the areas where food trucks are allowed, in which they are now limited to mostly downtown and in a couple other areas, and they still can't operate in a residential area. Hours expansion and fraud prevention, Williams said. Williams said the city has three food trucks which operate regularly and a handful of others. The city receives sales tax and food and beverage taxes from the food trucks. The council approved amending city code pertaining to fireworks display permit applications, an intergovernmental agreement with the township of Catlin for it to participate in the city's municipal court for addressing city code violations. They approved purchasing 30 iPad Pros and 15 laptops for $52,092 for city officials for teleconference meetings due to COVID-19. Funding comes from the city's capital equipment line item. Danville Information Technology Administrator Agnel De Silva on who will receive the computers, Alderman and Mayor Williams, 15 iPads for City Hall and laptops for homes, and department and division heads, 15 iPads only. There will be a tutorial and cheat sheet for aldermen and city officials to use the equipment, De Silva said, with the city's IT staff helping with the equipment in aldermen's homes. Williams said this will save the city approximately $4,200 a year in printing, copier maintenance, and other costs, and about 5% of city employees' work time, as it now takes about 2 hours a week to prepare city documents for meetings. De Silva says aldermen can participate in Zoom teleconferencing with the laptops and look at agenda and other city items while they are in the online meetings. The aldermen would use the iPads while they are physically present during council meetings. The city could be reimbursed for the cost through CURE, Coronavirus Urgent Remediation Emergency Support Program funding, distributed by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity from funds made available by the CARES Act. If the city does not receive reimbursement, money had been budgeted for the paperless process and equipment in the city budget. In a number of years, they will pay for themselves, Williams said, adding again that the computers will allow meetings in emergency situations such as COVID-19 and hopefully allow city officials to communicate more effectively. Staying on the front page, we'll next go to the article, Third Development, Commission to Act on Lot in Front of Meijer, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. A semi-final subdivision plat and setback variance requests the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission will act on Thursday are for a third development in front of Meijer. There will be a public hearing at the commission meeting for the GMX Danville subdivision semi-final plat and major variance requests for 0 feet and 6 feet side yard setbacks on one side and 0 feet side yard setback on the other side. In B3 general business zoning, minimum yard requirements, building setbacks from adjacent property lines, for front is 20 feet and side and rear 10 feet each. For GMX Rega 1 LLC's variance requests for the three subdivision lots, lot 2, 0 feet, 100% variance for the building setback from northern lot 1 property line, lot 6, 6 feet, 40% variance for the building setback from the southern lot 3 property line, and lot 3, 0 feet, 100% variance for the building setback from northern lot 2 property line. The narrow site is between OSF Ergo and Starbucks on North Vermilion Street. Starbucks is set to open on Friday. The commission is meeting via teleconference call at 5:15 Thursday. There is not access to the meeting by the public. Members of the public can submit comments for a specific agenda item in advance of the meeting by emailing the comments to lcronk@cityofdanville.org or by calling 217-431-2286. City staff will read up to the first 3 minutes of comments received. They're wanting to subdivide it into three parcels, Danville Grants and Planning Manager Logan Kronk said, about Northbrook, Illinois developer GMX Rega 1 LLC. There would be a third building on the property. The center lot is for sale. Kronk said they've not divulged any potential development there. The site plan proposes a 4,300-square-foot building. It's going to be tight, Kronk said, of the setback variance requests. It's putting lot lines right up against the other two buildings in order to make room for a third development. The zoning paperwork reads, variance is being sought to create a third lot subdivision. The building pad is available for future development, and the parking lot has been constructed. A declaration will be put in place to tie the three lots together from an ongoing operations perspective, including cross-access, cross-parking, utility sharing, signage sharing, etc. In other business, the commission will consider a rezoning petition. Adam Crutchley of Champaign is requesting to rezone the property at 1022 North Michigan Avenue from I-2 Light Industrial to R2 Residential Medium Density Zoning. The property is located one parcel from the southwest corner at the intersection of Deerwood Drive and North Michigan Avenue. Kronk said it has long been a residence outside city limits, but within the mile-and-a-half zoning jurisdiction, and it's proposed to be zoned in conformity with Danville's zoning ordinance. According to the zoning paperwork, Larry Peters purchased the property in the mid-1990s, but it was residential for decades prior as well. The property, in a living trust, is planned to be sold to continue as a residence. The ability for a buyer to get financing on the purchase, as well as the marketability of the property as a residence, are reportedly hampered by the current zoning. And now to finish up all of the articles on the front page, we'll go to the article, Small Business Grants Still Available, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. The city is no longer accepting applications for rent, mortgage, and vehicle payment assistance COVID-19 grants. Danville Grants and Planning Manager Logan Kronk reported Tuesday morning that they could accept about 20 more applicants, but that was likely not to be the case by Tuesday afternoon. "We're getting 100 calls a day," Kronk said, "of people inquiring about the grant opportunities." He said it's unknown if there might be a second round of grants that could be available. However, there are still more small business grants available. The city has paid 8 small business grants of $2,000 to $10,000, and 17 have been approved for $106,000. In order to release the funds to businesses, the business must have a CAGE, Commercial and Government Entity, code. It's a requirement from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, according to Kronk. The city has continued to approve applicants for community development block grants from additional funding for residents and small businesses impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. City officials initially said about 160 households who have had family members lose their job or family members currently unemployed due to COVID-19, and about 40 businesses could receive financial assistance through COVID-19 funding received by the city. Households can apply for $1,250 per household. Small businesses owners can apply for up to $10,000 per business, and independent business persons can apply for $2,000. Once an applicant is approved within the Neighborly software, the city and applicant enter into a contractual grant agreement to ensure the funds are being spent on what has been recorded in the application. Once the applicant signs and submits the grant agreement, the city will process payment. Businesses that have received other financial assistance through the state or payroll protection program are not eligible for this grant funding. Proof of job loss, current unemployment, or a business not operating will be required. The grants are first come, first serve. The Danville City Council approved amending the Community Development Block Grant Annual Action Plan for program year 2019 to include the $593,099 CDBG coronavirus funding the city received from HUD. Funding is to be used for $373,099 for small business support grants, $200,000 for rent, mortgage, and vehicle payment assistance for low to moderate income persons, and $20,000 for administration costs. We'll now go to the death notices. Dorothy Agnes Pohl Underwood, 96, of Concord, passed away on July 31st. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, August 7th, at Ascension Lutheran Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dorothy will be laid to rest at Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation in Dorothy's memory to Ascension Lutheran Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Susan Arnold Kelly passed away on July 26, 2020. A celebration of life will be held on August 22nd at 11 a.m. at St. James United Methodist Church in Danville, Illinois. Memorials may be made in Susan's memory to Cystic Fibrosis or American Cancer Society. Pearl Ann Brown, 66, of Gifford, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, August 2nd. Private funeral services will be held at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. Burial in Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola, Illinois. A public visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th, at Robison Chapel. Dr. Philip W. Kahn, 70, of Danville, passed away on July 31st. His funeral service and burial will be held privately. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to the Danville Humane Society or the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Richard Ritchie L. Dickin, Jr., 56, of Water Valley, Mississippi, formerly of Danville, passed away on May 17th. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Elvis Cleo King, 81, of Oakwood, passed away on July 30th. A celebration of life will be held on Thursday, August 6th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, August 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Cedar Grove Church of the Nazarene. James Francis King of Indianapolis, Indiana, passed away on July 31st. Visitation on Thursday, August 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. Funeral on Friday, August 7th, 12 p.m., with visitation at 11 a.m. at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Burial will be at Washington Park Cemetery immediately following. Donald H. Page, 81, of Westville, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, August 1st. Private family funeral services will be held at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. Burial in the National Cemetery in Danville. Public visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials to the Westville First Church of Christ or the Michael J. Fox Foundation. William Joseph Rutledge, Sr., 77, of Danville, passed away on Sunday, August 2nd. Florence B. Fultz, 84, of Covington, passed away on August 1st. Funeral services at 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, August 6th at Shelby Funeral Home. Burial in Mount Hope Cemetery. Visitation from 11 a.m. until time of services at 1 p.m. Memorials to Covington First Church of Christ, Covington Fellowship Center, and Covington Community Foundation. Richard W. Garman, 82, of Danville, passed away on Thursday, June 11th. A memorial service will be on Saturday, August 8th, from 9 to 11 a.m. Central at Second Church of Christ in Danville. Memorial service will follow at 11 a.m. Central at Second Church of Christ. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Second Church of Christ Reach Initiative, Carl Hospice, or to the donor's choice. Scott Andrew Sullivan, 57, of Miami, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away on July 22nd. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, August 9th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be held the evening prior on Thursday, August 6th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Donations, memorial donations may be made to the Vermilion County Handicap Association or the Wounded Warriors Project. We'll now go to the local page for the article, Woman Arrested in Winter Park Incident, a staff report, Danville. Local police have arrested a woman after she fired a handgun at a man during an argument at Winter Park. Janiah A. Edmonds, 22, of Danville, is awaiting arraignment in Vermilion County Court on charges of unlawful use of a weapon and aggravated discharge of a firearm, according to a press release issued by Commander Josh Webb. Danville police responded at 3:47 p.m. on Saturday to the 800 block of Winter Avenue in reference to a call of shots fired. Upon arrival, officers learned that an argument had taken place between a man and a woman, and during the incident, the woman grabbed a handgun from the trunk of a vehicle and fired shots at the man. Both of these subjects had then left the park prior to police arrival. Police continued to investigate the incident and spoke with several witnesses and watched a video of the incident, which was recorded on a cell phone by a bystander. During the follow-up investigation, the suspect was identified as Edmonds. Police located Edmonds at 3:36 p.m. on Monday in the 1400 block of North Gilbert, where she was taken into custody and transported to the Danville Public Safety Building. The investigation into this incident continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Webb asked in the release that anyone with information regarding this incident Call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. All suspects are considered innocent until proven guilty in court. Now for some Illinois news. We'll go to the article, Pritzker, Virus is Worse in Southern Illinois Than Chicago, by Jerry Nowicki at the Capital News Illinois, Springfield. The novel coronavirus is worse in Southern Illinois than it is in the Chicago area, and college parties thrown by returning students risk exacerbating the spread of COVID-19, Governor J.B. Pritzker said at an appearance at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale on Tuesday. I'm here today because the COVID-19 pandemic, which once seemed tame in Carbondale and throughout the entire region, is now surging here, Pritzker said at the SIU Student Center. It's worse than in Chicago, and I'll be frank, if we don't see some change here, the virus will cause some businesses to close and an increasing percentage of people to get sick, and some will even die. Pritzker said Jackson County, where Carbondale is located, is one of 11 counties in warning territory, according to state metrics. Southern Illinois' Region 5 of the state's COVID-19 mitigation plan had a test positivity rate of 7.3% as of August 1st, while the Region 4 metro area on the Missouri border had a rate of 7.2%. Those were pushing the 8% threshold, which would initiate state action to mitigate the spread of the virus. The state reported another 1,471 confirmed cases of the virus Tuesday, among 42,598 test results reported in the previous 24 hours. That drove the statewide 7-day positivity rate to 3.9%, a decrease of 1/10 of a percentage point since Monday, and made for a 1-day positivity rate of 3.5%. If a region hits the 8% positivity rate for 3 days, or if the positivity rate increases for 7 of 10 days, along with sustained 7-day increase in hospital admissions, it would also initiate mitigation efforts. Those include moving some sectors of the economy back to restrictions seen in previous phases of the state's reopening plan. Pritzker said it's important for local governments to take mitigation action as cases rise. He commended the Carbondale City Council for passing a face mask mandate that could allow for fines. I was very encouraged, though, to see that just a few days ago, the Carbondale City Council unanimously approved a city ordinance to enforce our statewide masked mandate, and that the county state's attorney is supporting the enforcement mitigation at bars and restaurants, Pritzker said. The other regions ranged from 3.1% in eastern Illinois to 6.4% in Kankakee and Will counties. Region 11, which includes all of Chicago, had a 4.9% positivity rate. For some more information on Vermilion County, an additional box is included here. Doug Toole of the Vermilion County Health Department confirmed Tuesday 6 new positive virus cases. 2 in their 40s, 2 in their 20s, and 2 teens, 2 of whom recently traveled out of state, bringing the county total to 203 positive cases and 13,518 negative cases. For more state news, we'll go to the article, Mendoza Warns of Dangers Ahead for Budget, by Peter Hancock at the Capital News Illinois, Springfield. Illinois Comptroller Susan Mendoza is adding her voice to those warning that the state will face dire consequences if the federal government does not approve an economic aid package for state and local governments. Without question, Illinois, and every other state, frankly, will need financial support from the federal government to bring much-needed stability back to state and local government, Mendoza wrote in the latest edition of her Fiscal Focus magazine, which she distributed in a news release Monday. Taxpayers, bond houses, businesses, human services providers, schools, and colleges and universities need to know that together we will pull through this unprecedented time. Mendoza, a Democrat who has served as comptroller since December of 2016, noted that the state began the fiscal year on July 1st with a backlog of past due bills totaling nearly $5.4 billion. But that was only because the state borrowed $1.2 billion from the Federal Reserve's Municipal Liquidity Faculty, money that has to be paid back in its entirety with 3.52% interest during the current fiscal year that ends on June 30th. She also noted that the state has borrowed another $400 million from the state treasurer's office, and the state's general revenue fund still owes about $763 million that it borrowed from other funds in previous years, which has to be repaid in installments through 2024. And next, let's go by the community briefs section for what's going on in the local area. In Danville, meeting canceled. The Vermilion County Board's Technology Committee meeting, scheduled for Thursday, has been canceled. Call the County Board office at 554-6000 with any questions or comments. Also, DATS panels canceled. The DATS Technical and Policy Committee meetings set for Thursday have been canceled. The regularly scheduled Policy Committee meeting on August 13th is anticipated to be held via call-in. For information, call Sam Cole at 431-2384. Also in Danville, Grease to air. The Fisher Theater will show films on a screen in Palace Park, starting at 9 p.m. Saturday with Grease. You can sit on an inflatable couch, which seats three, for $30, or bring a lawn chair or a blanket for $5 ahead. Concessions and a bar will be set up. In case of rain, the movie will be shown indoors. You can sign up online. Also, Legion schedule. The American Legion Post 210 offers Salisbury steak with sides from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Other offerings this week: Thursday, burgers and fries and hot dogs from 5 to 7 p.m. Fridays, fish fry and full menu from 5 to 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, pizza. And in Hoopston, crafts available. The Hoopston Public Library has its second crafts project available, a coloring project with markers. It's for adults and teens in grades 6 through 12. Pick it up at the upstairs main desk. No phone reservations required. And with those updates, that's going to be about all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Thanks for joining me for this reading today, and as always, please continue to stay safe.